They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Greece's fire-breathing new finance minister goes to meet his critics. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Greece's new government, from the far left of the political spectrum, is talking about a new way to ease the country's burden of debt that has led to years of tough austerity. The first outlines of a proposal are emerging in which Greece might swap debt with new kinds of bonds, ones perhaps indexed to economic growth in Greece, or so-called perpetual bonds, where only interest is paid, not the principal. Greece's new finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, an economist and professor who is widely published in English, said this to reporters during a series of high-level meetings in London today.
This is the strange kind of alliance that we're forging here tonight between a left-wing government and the financial sector, odd bedfellows in the middle of a depression, but it's an alliance that makes absolutely perfect sense because when you are in a debt deflationary cycle, putting an end to it both benefits the population, brings it out of the clasps of increasing misery and hopelessness, and increases equity prices. So my meeting with private investors here in London gave, I think, both sides a great deal of optimism about the future.
Andrew Walker, BBC's economics correspondent, joins us with more. Andrew, this sounds conciliatory.
He was clearly enjoying the fact that he was in a meeting with some of the most hard-nosed representatives of the financial sector. But he did say that on this occasion, they do share a common interest, which is to ensure that the Greek government, the Greek economy, can generate some sort of strong, sustainable recovery. He's not actually asking the hedge funds and others to take any potential losses, but it's the debt owed to other governments and official agencies in the Eurozone that's really in the firing line. The private sector creditors have already taken a substantial loss a couple of years ago when Greece had what's called a private sector involvement initiative to ease that part of the debt burden.
And somehow markets are interpreting all this as something positive, something that looks toward a little bit more stability, at least compared to the storm und drang that followed the results of the elections a week ago.
The point perhaps is that if Mr. Varoufakis is talking in terms of a deal that doesn't actually write down the nominal sum of what is owed, that it might have a little bit more chance of being accepted by the likes of Germany, Finland, the Netherlands, who do have real problems with giving explicit debt relief. So if you can achieve an effect that eases the burden a bit while appearing not to reduce the debt that has to be repaid, it might conceivably work quite well politically at home for Germany and the others. And bear in mind, this has been done, notably for Greece in the past, but it has also been done for some of the other Eurozone countries that have been receiving bailout loans.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
In other debtor news today, Radio Shack. Bloomberg News is reporting that the phone company Sprint and internet giant Amazon might be interested in snapping up some of those Radio Shack stores if the battery and electronics retailer falls into bankruptcy protection. I did say if, although yesterday Radio Shack ramped up the process to delist itself from the New York Stock Exchange. Here are the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 1.2%, DAX in Frankfurt up 1.1%. The key index on the stock exchange in Greece is up more than 8%, with their finance minister touring Europe. Crude oil using the Texas benchmark is up 3.5% to $51.30 a barrel. The three-day rally is the longest since late summer. Tough call. Which is tougher, do you think, talking to your kids about relationships or talking to them about money? Ron Lieber is the personal finance columnist for the New York Times. He has a new book out today called The Opposite of Spoiled, Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous, and Smart About Money. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
I'm a parent of three, and one thing I learned is often you can't really set the agenda for these important discussions, be it about money or about sex. You allude to it in the book. You got to wait for the kid sometimes to give you an opening.
kids' job in the world is to be curious. Money is a source of mystery. And so, of course, they are going to ask us about it all of the time. The thing that I try and keep in mind when those openings come is that I always try and stop and look at my daughter and say, oh, why do you ask? Not, why do you ask? And this does two things, right? First, it gives us a chance to stall. But it also may be that she's asking something different. You know, she doesn't really want to know what our income is. She's just confused because kids were talking on the playground about millionaires.
Where the rubber really hits the road on some of these money discussions is the allowance. You believe in those, Ron?
I do believe in allowance. A lot of people try to tie allowance directly to the chores so that if you don't do the work, you don't get the money. But the problem with putting those two things together is that once the kids decide they don't really need the money, they're going to think that they can stop doing the chores. So if kids are not living up to their side of the bargain, you take away privileges, experiences, and that's the best way to discipline, not by, you know, literally finding them financially.
All this sounds a whole lot better than leaving spare change dangling in your coat so your child pilfers it each week. I have met parents where this is the de facto system.
Now, there's a small minority of parents that treats the asking for money as almost like an elevator pitch, where every time the kids want money, they need to come to the parents and make a formal presentation. And that's clever, but better, I think, to give the kids a regular amount of money and let them handle it themselves, because they learn all sorts of lessons, both from the management of it and by screwing it up completely.
New York Times personal finance columnist Ron Lieber's new book is The Opposite of Spoiled: Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous, and Smart About Money. Ron, thank you.
You're welcome.
There is an excerpt from his book, the piece about disconnecting the quid pro quo from the allowance, at marketplace.org if you're interested. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.